Happy Easter! If you came to the breakfast, raise your hand. I just want to know who to watch to see if you fall asleep in the middle of my sermon. Glad that you're here. Hope that you feel the love of Christ in this place. I want to welcome our live stream audience as well. Is Jesus alive? We're going to celebrate that today. I know as I look around the room, there's several of you that I've already greeted and that this is maybe your first time back in a year, over a year. That's a blessing. I'm blessed that you're here. Let's pray. Father, it's good to be your people. It's good to gather in your name. Father, even you are the God of the internet as well. The World Wide Web has nothing on you. We pray, God, that you would send your Holy Spirit in this place and every home that's listening. We want to exalt the name of Jesus this day. We pray that you would stir our hearts, God, that you would surprise us, that we come here maybe with some expectations of how the day's going to go, but surprise us, God. Take us deep today. We love you, and we offer our praises to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. Jesus said, there's going to come a time, and the time is now, where my people will worship me in spirit and in truth. There's a big lot of us here today, so let's make a joyful noise. Are y'all ready? Yeah. 1, 2, 3, here we go. Casting my cares aside, leaving my past behind, setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Reaching my hands to yours, believing there's so much more. and I will rejoice and be glad in it.
There's a light in the window. The table set in splendor. Someone's standing by the open door. I can't see the crystal river, so I must be near forever. Lord, I've lived in this homestead before. See the bright light.
Be seated. Kids, it's time to come on down for the children's sermon.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Turn you back around. Hey, guys. Good morning. Good to see everybody.
Good morning.
Hey, guys. Everybody getting up here? Good to see you. Hey, how are you?
Welcome.
Good to see you. Come on in.
Welcome.
Hey, guys.
Oh.
All right. How's everybody doing? Everybody having a good day?
Yes.
Are you having a good day?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Are you excited that today is what?
Easter.
Easter. So, everybody, I want everybody to say, Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
No, say it. Wait. You got to say it really loud. Okay, ready? One, two, three.
Happy Easter.
Sure, that's right. So, today is Easter. So, who can tell me why we celebrate Easter? Audrey. Jesus rose from the dead. That's right. The tomb was empty. And Jesus lives today, right? Are you excited about that?
Yes.
Yes, I am super excited about that today. Are you excited about it, Ms. Jason?
I'm very excited.
All right. So, this morning, we have our Easter basket, so we're going to talk about what's in our eggs, and it's going to help us maybe help us remember the Easter story. So I'm going to start with the first one, and it's in this egg. It's blue. I have my blue egg, and in my egg, wait, let me see. Oh, there it is. Okay. I have a cross. The cross reminds me that Jesus carried his cross to that mountain, and he died on that cross. up there on the mountain. He did that just for us. What? You thought he died in heaven, but he died here on earth and he went to heaven. But he's in heaven waiting for us. Okay? But he didn't die. He didn't stay. Remember, he went to the tomb, but something happened, right? So, but this cross reminds us that Jesus loves us so much that he was willing to go to the cross for each one of us. Isn't that amazing? All right. So.
All right. I'm going to do the second egg. Anyone think they know what might be in there? No?
Huh?
I think it's a rock.
I think
like
crown.
I think it's a wooden teeth.
Okay. Good guesses.
I have three nails. Mm-hmm. They use three nails, one for each hand and one for his feet. They nailed Jesus to the cross. Can you imagine how much that would have hurt?
Yes.
Jesus died. Jesus was put on the cross to pay for our sins.
Okay. So then I've got the third egg. This one rattles. What do you think what's in here? Eli, you know what's in this one. Okay. Look. The stone. That's right. There is a stone. Now, the stone, when Jesus died on that cross, they buried him in a tomb. And they rolled a big stone. And it probably took 10 to 15 people just to roll that heavy stone. Because rock is very heavy. But they rolled that stone in there. They put Jesus in there and then they rolled this stone in there. Isn't that amazing? But when the next morning, when the women went to the tomb, where was the stone?
On the floor.
It was rolled away. The tomb was opened. So how do you think the tomb got opened? How did the tomb get open? Angels? Okay. Do you think God just rolled that stone away?
No.
Because you don't think he did? But the women got there and they saw the tomb was open. And now Miss Teresa's going to tell us what they found in the tomb.
So okay, what do you think's in my fourth egg?
Nothing.
I have the empty egg. When the two ladies went to the tomb, it was empty. But there was an angel there and the angel said to her, "He is not here. He is risen just as he said he would. Come and see the place where the Lord laid." The empty egg reminds us that Jesus is not in the tomb. He is risen and he lives today. So Jesus took his cross, but the nails could not hold him. The stone could not keep him in the grave. He rose from the dead and he is alive today. He is risen.
Amen. Are y'all excited that Jesus is risen? Yes. So we celebrate Easter that Jesus has risen from the grave and he lives today. But do we just celebrate today or can we celebrate every day? Should we be excited about Jesus?
Yes.
Yes. So I want y'all to be really, really excited right now. And I want you to say, he is risen. Are y'all ready? 1, 2, 3.
He is risen.
Amen. We are excited that Jesus lives today. Amen. Yay, Jesus. Okay.
Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, on this Easter Sunday, may we remember Jesus' willingness to suffer and die for our sins. Then through your mighty and holy power, he arose from the grave and lives today. Amen.
Amen. Okay, we're going to go that way. Yes, come on, come on. I'm going to answer.
I thought there was going to be like the word angel. And they said that in the Bible it said,
good morning, church family.
So good to see you this morning. For those of you who are worshiping online, God bless you. We're honored that you would connect with us this morning. You know, I don't think the kids should have all the fun. So I think us adults should say, He is risen. Now, the 8:30 crowd had a hard time with this. I don't know if I was just a poor leader or we just couldn't say it in unison, but let's say He is risen together. One, two, three. He is risen. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. That is good news this morning, church. If you want to register your attendance with us, you can do that through our app this morning. Our Wednesday night's session for winter and spring ends this Wednesday night. And we may have a short session during the summertime. VBS is late this year, and so we need to make summer plans. We'll be doing that actually next week. Also on the 21st of April is our annual bingo fundraiser for youth. And understand they're serving Italian food. I've never been to an Italian bingo before, but this may be our only opportunity to do that. Also, May 2nd is Senior Sunday, and Jeff has been communicating through his email the seniors that we know of that are graduating this year. So please look over that list, and if you know of anybody else that is graduating that is not included on that list, we would love to know that. We don't want to overlook anybody. Also, that Sunday is a youth Sunday, so the youth will be leading that service as well. And I think that's all the announcements I have. Boy, it's good to be in the house of the Lord together. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Oh, the tomb is empty. Out of all the good news floating around out there, that is the best news. Jeff will preach about this, that, you know, if Jesus Christ did not raise from the dead, then we're still in our sins. We are wasting our time here this morning. So we can be grateful for the empty tomb. So, Father, we thank you this morning for that reality, that the grave could not hold Jesus, our Lord. And Lord, there is never a doubt in regard to him not being able to overcome the grave. So, Father, we're grateful for that. We're grateful for the salvation that comes through him. Father, we're grateful, Father, that you live inside of us. The Son lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. The Trinity lives inside of us to empower us, to give us not just life, but to give us life in abundance. And Father, I just pray that you help us through the power of the Holy Spirit to discover that. There's more for us. There's more for us than we'll ever know on this side of eternity. God, I just pray you stir up a passion inside of us just to know more about what this abundant life is like for us. This freedom that Jesus won for us on the cross. The freedom that Jesus won for us when he came out of the grave. Now, Father, as the word is proclaimed this morning, as the truth is shared this morning, I pray that if there's someone in this house, someone in their homes that don't know you, Jesus, as Lord, I pray that before they leave this place today, that today is the day of salvation. So do a mighty work in our midst this morning. And Father, as we move forward as a fellowship, I pray that you empower us to be more effective ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, I pray for a sense of urgency to rise up inside of us. For a spirit of discernment to rise up inside of us, God, when we come across situations or we come across people, God, that are hurting, that don't know you, God, I just pray that you use us for your glory in those situations. And Father, as we continue to meet together, I pray you continue to protect us from illness. God, protect us from the virus, Lord, as we come together. And for those that are struggling with that illness, God, I pray for restoration for their body, restoration for lungs, restoration for the nervous system, restoration for the blood flow, the blood system in their body. Because Jesus, you are our healer. And we ask that you heal and touch this morning. Father, again, we thank you for the empty tomb. And I pray that resonate with us in a fresh and new way this morning. Some of us have sat through a lot of Easter services. I pray that this one is different. I pray that it's special to us. So move in power for your glory. I thank you for opportunities to pray, and God, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. Amen. I forgot to mention, if you purchased a Easter lily, you can pick that up on your way out if you choose to do that. Also, we will take our offering at this time. The offering plates are on the altar, and if you have an offering you'd like to give this morning, you can do so through this next worship set. And also, you can always give online. Church, God bless you.
Stand together. Sealed the promise, your
Well, happy Easter again. What do you think? It's been a year. Woohoo! Bulletins. Hadn't had a bulletin in a year. We figured like it's time for, since Jesus is alive, we might as well bring the bulletin back, right? If you don't want to touch a bulletin, that's okay. You can just say no thank you, and you don't have to take one. But I know some of you have been missing that. So glad that we have those available to you. Just once again, happy Easter. I want to welcome again the live stream audience, and glad that you are with us. If you're our guest, whether here in this room or on the live stream, our Wiley Methodist app that you can download has a guest registration. We'd love to have your information and know that you were here. I promise we won't stalk you or bug you or anything, but just like to know who was here. And at the end of the service, we will have the breakfast, but I will also, for our guests, I'll be down at this end and would love to meet you and have a gift for you as well. So in just a moment, we'll get into the word for today, but I have promised y'all that as I gain knowledge, I will try to pass it on to y'all, right? So as I gain knowledge. So most people are not aware of this, but on March of 1876, Alexander Graham Bell made the first telephone call. Most of you just have that date on the tip of your tongue. And immediately after that, go ahead and put the slide up there. There he is doing it. Moments later, he's notified his car's warranty has expired. I don't know if you knew that, so I like to just spread the knowledge. Don't you love those calls? I have no idea who those people are. I have no idea. Someday I'm just going to, maybe I'll buy a car warranty, extended warranty or something. Matthew 27 is where we are today, if you'll turn there. For you younger people, or people, older people like me that think you're younger, you can turn on your Bible. Matthew 27, verse 62 is where we're going to start. We all know, I don't have to set this up, we know what's happened. Jesus has gone to the cross and they've taken his, you know, it's interesting that one of the theories of non-Christians is, have you ever heard of the swoon theory? That Jesus wasn't really dead. He was just kind of in this comatose kind of state. They call that the swoon theory. And I'm like, nah, the Romans, they didn't take anybody down off the cross that wasn't dead. I remember the soldier came to break his legs. And, of course, Scripture foretold that there would not be one bone broken on the Messiah. And he comes to break his legs so that he would suffocate at the end. He sees that he's already dead and he pierces his side. So we know Jesus is in the tomb, and we pick it up in 27:62 of Matthew. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember, don't you love this? We remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. Now, isn't it interesting that even the Pharisees and the chief priests and the Pharisees are confirming that Jesus said, I'm going to die and I'm going to rise again. Because they're afraid you see as we read the rest of the story, they're afraid what might happen. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure. Once again, even more security for the tomb, which makes just validates the miracle all the more. Make it secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate answered. Go make the tomb as secure as you know how. Once again, these are the Roman soldiers. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the tomb and posting the guard. Chapter 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Pa, I used to live kind of on the outskirts of town and we would get possums sometime. You know, they playing possum.
The guards are playing possum. They're like, I'm really not dead. Don't move. They'll think we're dead. Okay, I'm not sure where that came from. The angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus. Here it is again. Who was crucified? He's not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Who do you worship? You worship God. And Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we are gathered as Christians because we believe in the resurrection, because we believe in you, that you are a living God. So, Holy Spirit, we pray now that you would come, that you would speak in power and authority. We want to hear from you. Change our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So the message this week, this Easter Sunday, is just a simple, he's alive. He's alive. You know, if you think through what it means to be a Christian and all the other religions that are out there, the one thing that absolutely separates us, everything about being God's people, about being a Christian, everything hinges on the truth of the resurrection. Everything hinges on that. 1 Corinthians 15, one of my favorite passages, Paul is speaking. Here's what he says. If the resurrection didn't happen, here's what Paul says to us. If the resurrection didn't happen, Christ has not been raised from the dead. My preaching is useless. So I would echo Paul's, you know, in fact, I would go on to say my whole life is useless. Because I get up in the morning, and that's my intention, is to share the gospel with people, to love on people for sake of Christ. My preaching is useless. Our faith is futile and useless. We are still in our sins. Billy spoke about this in his prayer today. Those who have died proclaiming Christ as Lord are lost. This is if the resurrection isn't true. And then finally, he wraps it up and he says, we are to be pitied above all others if the resurrection isn't true. But then the very next verse, it says, but indeed Jesus has risen from the dead. But if he didn't, if the resurrection wasn't true, all of these things are true about us. We're still in our sins. Our life is useless. We're to be pitied more than all others. Everything for the Christian hinges on the truth of the resurrection. Did it happen? I'm just going to share this with you Wednesday night. I'm not really sure. I'm still kind of unpacking the dream a little bit. You know, I don't know about you, but I dream, and usually I dream, I'm kind of an active dreamer. I dream a lot. Most of the time when I wake up, I kind of is like, oh, I think I was dreaming about that. And then in 15 minutes, I couldn't even tell you. It was just kind of, you know. This dream that happened Wednesday night is still very vivid to me this morning. I believe God was trying to say something, and here's what the essence of my dream. I was in a church and I was preaching. It didn't look like this church. It was more of a traditional church. Had the wooden pews, and there was a sprinkling of people out in the sanctuary. And I began to share this sermon that he's alive, that we because of the resurrection we have hope. And I'm sharing this message, and somebody on the Trevor, it wasn't you or Marv or Robert or anybody that plays the piano or anything, but somebody on the praise team came up to the piano while I'm preaching, and they began to kind of ding, 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 ding. This, well, we weren't really making music, just started to kind of bang on the piano, and they, it was, this is kind of weird. I know I'm a weird person, but, and they began to kind of warm up their voice. It's like, me, 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 and they're just banging on the piano, right in the middle of my sermon. And I'm sharing the hope we have through Christ because he's resurrected, because he's alive. And I remember just I just felt discouraged. I was just discouraged. I'm like, here's what I'm thinking in my dream. I'm thinking, this is important. And you're over here banging on the piano and clearing your voice. And you're part of the team. And I'm not sure what all that meant, but I remember just the heaviness and the discouragement I felt from that moment. And I just preached on. I tried to keep preaching through it. And the best I can come up with at this point is the devil doesn't want us to share that message. Because that's everything. It's everything. If the resurrection isn't true, we're in trouble, bud. I mean, I don't know about you, but my life is no purpose, no meaning, if the resurrection isn't true. And that there is opposition to that message because it's everything for the Christian. So I just want to kind of, today, last week we talked about because of the cross, the different things that we can celebrate because of the cross. Today, because Jesus is alive, you don't have to live with guilt or shame anymore. Now, that most of that was dealt with on the cross, but I want to say that without the empty tomb, the cross is just a fairy tale. I mean, if Jesus really didn't overcome death, then everything he'd been saying was a lie and the cross was insignificant, but Christ has indeed risen from the dead. Because Jesus is alive, you don't have to live with guilt or shame anymore. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I would just add there that outside of Christ Jesus, we are condemned. That's the part we don't like. We are condemned outside of Christ. But for those who have Christ, there is no condemnation. I say this occasionally, but I want to say it again this morning. If you are feeling guilt or shame about anything in your life, that's not from God. Is this on? Anybody listening? It's not from God. If you're feeling shame about something that you've done or something that's been done to you or anything like that, that's not from God. God doesn't shame us. God convicts us, but he never shames us. Colossians says it this way, when you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code, the law, with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to a cross. And so the cross takes away our guilt and shame, and the resurrection says, yep, I got the power to do that. That's what Jesus says. I've got the power to do that. Secondly, because Jesus is alive, you don't have to fear death anymore. Now, the one universal thing that we all share is that any of us getting out of this life alive. We're just not. And we don't know if that's today or tomorrow, or next year, or in 20 years, we don't know, but none of us are getting out of this life alive, and I'm sorry if that's news to some of you, but that's the way it is. We're human. We are flesh and blood. These bodies, they give out. But here's what Jesus says, but I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Tim Keller. Tim Keller is a pastor in New York, a big church, and written a lot of books, and theologian, and so on and so forth. Well, in May of 2020, Tim Keller was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And It's a serious cancer, very serious. And I know many of you have gone through that, either with yourself or perhaps even going through that or a loved one. And I was reading some of Tim Keller. He was promoting a book that he actually started writing this book before he got this diagnosis. But when he got the diagnosis and through COVID, it obviously changed the way he wrote this book. But the book is Hope in Times of Fear, The Resurrection and the Meaning of Easter. And he talks about, I have not read the book. I've actually ordered it. I'm going to read it. But he talks about, as he's describing this book, he said, when I'd already planned to write this book, and when I got this diagnosis, he said, I came to this moment of my faith, the testing of my faith. He's like, do I really believe that? Do I really believe in the resurrection? I mean, it's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to put it up here and intellectually. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I believe that. I believe that Jesus is alive and so on and so forth. But do we really believe it? And Tim had to come to that place. Do I really believe it? It's interesting. Again, if you want to check out that book, I have not read it yet, but I bet it's a good read. Hope in Times of Fear, The Resurrection and the Meaning of Easter, Tim Keller. Because Jesus is alive, we don't have to fear death anymore. And I've said this before as well, but I can, when I visit people who have serious medical diagnosis, or someone who many times someone is, or family members in hospice and on their last days on this earth, or, and I've told you sometimes I get a call from the funeral home, one of the funeral homes, and they're wanting me to do a service for somebody that doesn't have a church home. And I can tell immediately in any of those circumstances if this person, if this family has hope in Christ. It's just different. Our fear of death, our hope that we have, it's just different with Christ. Why is it different? Because he's alive. We serve a living God. I love the story of the Buddha people. Well, okay, and the Hindus have the finger bone of Buddha that, I'm not making this stuff up. It's like this bone was traveling around the United States a few years ago, and I read an article in the paper. It's like, come see Buddha's finger bone. I'm like, holy cow! I bet that's exciting stuff. I'm like, I've never seen a tour where we can view Jesus' bones because he's alive. And that makes a difference. It's everything for the Christian. Because Jesus is alive, we don't have to live with guilt and shame, and we don't have to fear death. Thirdly, because Jesus is alive, your life has meaning and purpose. And I mentioned this earlier, if the resurrection didn't happen, my life, I'm just telling you, my life, what I do every day is meaningless. If the tomb isn't empty. But because Jesus is alive, our life has meaning and purpose. I didn't know this for the first couple of years I was pastor here. Y'all probably, who can remember the last thing I say is we're closing the service every Sunday? Yeah. Way to go. From the mouth of babes right there. Go and tell someone. For a couple of years, I didn't even know I was saying that. It just instinctively came out of my mouth. And the as you go out the center exit of our parking lot, there's a little brick ledge there that one of our members a few years ago, several years ago, came and wanted to put this metal lettering on that, and where it said, go and tell someone, and he had to draw it and said, can I do that? I said, well, let me check with the trustees, and we got all that approved, and it did, and I was looking at that, and I said, that's pretty cool. Where'd you come up with that? He said, you say it every Sunday. I said, I do? I say it. Now I'm much more conscious of saying it. But at that time, it's like, I do? I didn't even know I was saying that. But Matthew 28, the scripture we read today, Jesus is alive. He's raised from the dead. The angel said to the woman, go quickly and tell his disciples. Go and tell. He's like, okay, Jesus is alive. He did all this stuff that he said he was going to do. He died for our sins. He said he was going to be in the tomb 3 days. Then he was going to rise. And now the angel's saying, now go tell somebody. That's something to celebrate. Go tell somebody. He's risen from the dead. And then a little bit later in chapter 10, when they greeted by Jesus, Jesus says to the women, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers that I'm alive. Go and tell. There's this, we're given this commission, if you will, this mission to tell that Jesus is alive. And I'm hearkening back to my dream. It's like the enemy doesn't want us doing that. That's what I believe that dream was about. Now, the enemy doesn't, I'm not sure, I don't think he plays a piano and warms up his voice when we're doing that. But he doesn't want us doing that. I came across a Barna. Most of you are familiar with Barna Research. They do surveys about different things, and he's Christian-based. And he did a survey a while back, and here was the question to church-going people. These are not people that are outside the church. These are people that go to church. Have you heard of the Great Commission? That was the question given to the church-goers. And go ahead and flip that slide up there, Lee. Have you heard of the Great Commission? I don't know if you can see that, but the big blue area, 51% no. Churchgoers, have you heard of the Great Commission? 51% nope. What's that? Another 25% yes, but I don't know what that means. I've heard the term, the Great Commission. So 76% of churchgoers either have never heard of the Great Commission or they've heard of the name, but they don't know what it means. Houston, we got a problem. We got a problem. When Jesus comes out of the tomb and the angel says, "Go, he's alive, go tell somebody." And then they meet up with this risen Jesus. I'm alive, I'm here, I did what I said. Go tell my disciples, go tell, spread the word. And then, a little later in Matthew 28, we get this thing that 76% of the church doesn't know or doesn't know what it means. Verse 16, the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them. When they saw him, they worshiped him. Again, who do you worship? God. They recognized he was God. But some doubted. Then Jesus, I'd love to know who those people were. We know doubting Thomas. We know he's like, hey, put your hand, finger in the nail scar. But I don't know, man. We're some knuckleheads, man. People are knuckleheads. Some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So that's the premise. That's the foundation. It's like, I've got all this authority and I'm passing it on to you. Therefore, you remember what therefore is for? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son. This is radical stuff. He's saying, baptize them in this faith in my name as well. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's acknowledging himself as God and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Man, it staggers me to think that 76% of churchgoers don't know what the Great Commission is. I want to turn just a second to the disciples as we're thinking about did the resurrection really happen? Is Jesus really alive? You know, we know that one of the disciples betrayed Jesus, and we know Peter denied Jesus, not denied knowing him, and all the others scattered except John. John was the one that, don't you love the way John refers to himself? The one who Jesus loved? Don't you love that? And I don't see that as an arrogant thing like, hey, the one of y'all, he doesn't love y'all, but he loves me. No, he's recognizing that, like everybody, Jesus loves him. So John was the one that was standing there with Mary, Jesus' earthly mother. And Jesus looked down from the cross and he said, behold your mother and behold your son. And so other than John, everybody else split. But then, I'm not going to list them all out. I've done it before. But then all of the disciples, except John, by the way, according to early history, church history, they were all martyred. And I don't have the quote in front of me, but Chuck Colson, y'all remember Chuck Colson? Ended up being a mighty man of God. He was actually one of the Watergate conspirators and went to prison and found Jesus in prison and came out and had a prison ministry and other things and was one crazy good disciple of Jesus. But he makes a point. He has a quote where he says, I know the resurrection happened because with Watergate, you had 12 influential men that couldn't keep a secret for 3 weeks. That's why we're all in jail. But he said, these 12 men, once I added Matthias, these 12 men went to their death. The same ones that scattered in the bushes, they all went to their death, beheaded, stoned, thrown off cliffs, killed with swords, on and on and on. Something happened. For 40 years, none of them gave it up and go, okay, it was all a big hoax. Chuck Colson says, man, if anything proves the resurrection for me, that proves the resurrection. These men went 40 years and never denied Jesus rose, never said it was a hoax, went to their death. He said, my guys couldn't go 3 weeks. Church, this is everything. This day we celebrate that Jesus is alive, it's everything to the Christian. He's alive. And he doesn't leave it there. It's not just that we get our ticket, and if we believe in him, we get our ticket to heaven and we're good. No, he says, now go tell somebody. Go and make disciples. The communion's not down there this morning. I was headed to the communion table. I want to invite you. Hopefully every one of you got a communion cup when you came in. If you did not and you would like one, raise your hand, hold it up. We'll get it to you. You girls did good. Everybody has one that wants one. Okay. Teresa, are we in? They're coming. Okay, some of the older children are coming back. If they do not have one and you want them to have one, raise your hand and we'll get one to you. You know, but there's different ways that we partake of the Lord's Supper. Here comes some more. If parents, if you want any of your kids that are coming in to have communion elements, raise your hand and we'll get them to you. There's different forms of the way we partake in communion. Jesus didn't give us, oh, it needs to be this or it needs to be that or whatever. He just said, to remember what the juice and what the bread, to remember what it symbolizes, and to remember him when we partake. So I want to take your cup, and before you open it, I just want you to kind of look inside there as I read this scripture. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And go ahead, if you would, open the bread first. If you'll go ahead and open the bread and partake. This is his body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him. In the same way, after the supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this bread, for this cup. I thank you for what it symbolizes, what that you are present, that we are participating in your death and resurrection when we partake of this. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will take the cup and open the juice side and partake. If you will pray with me, in the name of Jesus, I pray blessings, and I pray for anyone this morning, Lord, that doesn't know you, doesn't understand that you are alive and that you have overcome death, and that because you live, we live. If they don't understand that this morning, I pray that you'd move, Holy Spirit, in their lives, move in their heart, in their minds. We thank you for the precious blood and the precious body, Jesus. In your name, amen. As we close, a reminder that we will have the breakfast available to you when you leave here. Also, there will be some trash cans at both of the exits that you can discard your empty cup when you leave. Also, there will be at both of the exits a little gift to commemorate this day that you can take with you. A little coin. It's a Holy Spirit coin, and it has a Holy Spirit prayer on it. Linda Mitchell, if you're watching, Linda, gave me this a few years ago, and I've carried this coin in my pocket every day since. It has a prayer to the Holy Spirit, and it's just a reminder that God is with me through His Holy Spirit. I have enough at least for two per family. If you want to partake two of those coins, you can do that. So let's stand as we close.
Have you?
He's alive, church. He's alive. Now go and tell someone. We are dismissed. If you have a tulip that you've paid for, please go ahead and take that with you. Happy Easter. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.